this week is the Torah portion that I will suggest is one of the most crucial, one of the most fundamental, one of the most overlooked, because the whore church hates it in the whole book, and we'll talk about the reasons why in a few minutes, but it certainly is central to an understanding of literally the whole book. And of course that makes sense, because this is Moshe's final address. He's getting ready to wrap things up, and it makes sense that he was is going to conclude with some of the most important elements. So it says this in the beginning, Otem Nitzavim, and basically the word is y'all are standing. And another way to look at it, the conjugation of this word is interesting. It's nitzavim. Of course, that means it's plural. It's the you all form. We know that. And you are standing is how most English renders it. But it's also said to be in the nifal conjugation. And perhaps a better way to put it would be, y'all have positioned yourselves, for what that's worth. You've positioned yourselves before Yehoyarel. Now think about that. You have positioned yourselves before your Creator. Yehoyarel, your heads, your tribes, your elders, your officers, even all of the men of Israel. Your little ones, your wives, the stranger that's in the midst of your camp, from the hewer of the wood to the fellow that draws your water. All of you are here on Hayom, this day. Now, I counted this up a few years ago. Turns out that in chapter 29 alone, that word, this day, Hayom, appears seven times. Now, what's interesting about Hayom is that it's also true today, right? If you think about Hayom, this day is true every day. This is always this day. It was true for them that had positioned themselves before the Creator. It is true for us. And I think that's important to remember as we go through this. Okay, so that you can enter into the covenant with Yehoyarel and into his oath, which Yehoyarel makes with you Hayom, this day. That he may establish, here it is again, Hayom, this day, unto himself, y'all, for a people. And that he may be unto you as Elohim, as he spoke unto you, and as he swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And then here comes one of the key elements. Not with you only do I make this covenant and this oath. So this is Moses speaking to the people that were physically there on that this day. But he's also saying, this covenant is with him who stands here with us this day before Yahuwah, and also with him that is not here with us Hayom, this day. So there you go, folks. That includes us. That is, if we choose to allow that covenant to be made and to participate in it, because it is a choice. For you know how we dwelt in the land of Egypt, how we came through the midst of the nations which you all passed through. And you've seen their detestable things, their idols, their wood and stone, silver and gold, all those things that are with them. Lest there should be any man among you, man or woman, he says, or family or tribe even, whose heart turns away this day from Yehoyarel to go and serve the gods of those other nations. Lest there be among you, in other words, a root that bears gall and wormwood. Well, it comes to pass, when he hears the words of this curse that we're fixing to hear, that he shall bless himself in his heart, saying, oh, you know what, I'll have peace, even though I walk in the stubbornness of my own heart, that the watered be swept away with the dry. So it's a warning up front. Yahuwah will not be willing to pardon him, but then the anger of Yahuwah and his jealousy shall be kindled against that man, and all the curse that is written in this book shall lie upon him, and Yahuwah shall blot out his name from under heaven. And Yahuwah shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that is written in this book of the Torah. And the generation to come, your children that shall rise up after you, and the foreigner that shall come from a far land, shall say, when they see all of these plagues of that land and the sickness wherewith Yahuwah has made it, meaning the land, sick, and that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt. Now, brimstone is another way for sulfur, remember. So brimstone is what comes out of volcanoes and came raining down from heaven on Sodom and Gomorrah. So nasty stuff, basically. Brimstone and salt, burning. It's not sown nor bears any grass. No grass grows there. It's kind of like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, also Admah and Zeboim, which Yahuwah overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. Even all the nations shall say, what has happened here? Wherefore has Yahuwah done this thing unto this land? What means the heat of this great anger? And then it says, men will say the following, because they forsook the covenant of Yahuwah the El, their El, El of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Mitzrayim. And they went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods that they knew not, and that he had not given them, allotted unto them, allowed them. There's only one. There's no one beside him. Now, what's interesting here, too, is this word that's used, gods that they knew not. That word there in the Hebrew is yada, right? We've heard it from Seinfeld, yada, yada, yada. And it means to know, but it means more than just to know. It means to know intimately, experientially. As you remember, Adam yada his wife, Hava. So to know in a deep understanding sense. We can know him, but see, these other gods are fakes. We don't know them that way. And shouldn't, by the way. Therefore, the anger of Yahuwah was kindled against this land to bring upon her all the curse that's written in this book. And Yahuwah rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation and cast them into another land as it is, ready? Hayom. And that is true, folks. It is true today, this Hayom. And the chapter ends with this kind of almost enigmatic verse. And I can't help but think that this is one of those that will be opened up to us more and more as we see what's going to happen over the next few months, and I guess we'll find out years, regardless of how long it is, before things that are written in the book play out. The secret things, he says, belong unto Yahuwah Elohim. This would be Eloheinu, our God. But the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this Torah. It's a standard refrain. He says it over and over and over again. Keep, observe, hearken, hear, obey, and of course, do. Chapter 30, and this is the one that I will suggest is so fundamental. Absolutely, it contains the two-word summary of the Torah, but there's so much else in here, including the first real summation of the greater regathering, and also probably one of the most, I would say, comforting prophecies in all of Scripture. Because we are and remain in exile. And it's also one of the great refutations of one of the biggest lies in all of human history. And that, of course, is the one that you've probably heard in Sun God Day and in the various whore churches. Nobody could keep the law. Only Jesus could possibly keep the law. Well, folks, he says otherwise. And I think it's time we started believing him rather than the whore church and those who lie about and for those who... have never, if they've ever read Scripture, they've never taken it to heart. It starts like this, and it shall come to pass when all of these things are come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I've set before you, and you will find yourself, you bethink yourself out here among all the nations whither Yahuwah your El has driven you. So let's pause. Are we there? Yeah, we have been there for a long time. The blessings, they were obvious when this nation was God-fearing, and so are the curses now that it is no longer, and they're accelerating and becoming undeniable. But here we are, and I think it's important to think about. Are we where he said we would be? Yes, we are in fact scattered among all the nations where Yahuwah has driven us. And at this point, here comes the prophecy. You shall return unto Yahuwah your El. That sounds amazing. I think some of us are attempting to do that now. We're in progress. But this says, you shall return unto Yahuwah your El, and hearken, Shamar, unto his voice, according to all that I command you, Hayom, this day, you and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul. Certainly that has not become widespread yet, but it is very encouraging to know that it will happen. Then, at this point, it says, Yahuwah your El will turn. The word shuv, your captivity, and have compassion upon you. That's a pretty encouraging statement. And he will return and gather you from all the peoples, all the places, in other words, and all the nations where or whither Yahuwah your El has scattered you. So this is, in fact, the first prophecy of the greater regathering yet to come. Makes you wonder, isn't it? How close are we? Bo Mashiach. If any of you are dispersed throughout the uttermost parts of the heavens, well, from there will Yahuwah your El gather you, and from there will he fetch you. And Yahuwah your El will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it, and he will do you good and multiply you above your fathers. Now, let's pause with this one, too. because it's been pointed out, and I think this is basically true, there is a whole lot of ink, a whole lot of prophecy, and this is almost always overlooked by the same whore church that, well, for that matter, they ignore all of Deuteronomy chapter 30, so no surprise. He says there will be a greater regathering. We will be regathered and moved into the land. And, you know, you will always hear about, oh, I'm going to die and go to heaven, and all these kind of things, but you will rarely hear anything from the whore church about a greater regathering and of bringing his people back into the land, where we will walk in obedience to something which they say is dead and buried and done away with anyway. So no wonder they don't like to talk about it. And notice this is in the future tense, too. And Yehuyarel will circumcise your heart and the heart of your seed to love Yehuyarel with all your heart and with all your soul that you may live. And Yehua, your Elohim, will put all of these curses upon your enemies and on them that hate you, that persecuted you. This one doesn't look to me like it's happened yet, but it's certainly something to be devoutly sought for. And you, in turn, shall return and hearken to the voice of Yehua and do all of his commandments, which I command you this day. Well, here you go. This is one of the obvious cases. Has all been fulfilled? You'll hear that from the whore church. Answer, hell no. Because how many of them do all of his commandments, which he commands you this day? Including keeping his Sabbath, keeping his Moedim. Answer? Very, very few. A tiny, not even a remnant, folks, a tiny, tiny fraction. And that's part of the reason why I think so many are coming out of those churches and recognizing that as we do return to him, and as we do begin to hearken to his voice, it's important that we come out and go to the place where we can do that. And Yehuyarel, it says, will make you overabundant in all the work of your hand and the fruit of your body, the fruit of your cattle. This is a restatement of the blessings we saw in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And in the fruit of your land for good. And Yehuah will again rejoice over you for good as he rejoiced over your fathers. That certainly sounds encouraging. This part may cause some trepidation, however. If, here's the catch, if, right, im. Actually, key, and that one can be translated as either if or as when. And in this case, I like when better. When you shall hearken to the voice of Yehuyarel to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the Torah, if you turn unto Yehuyarel with all your heart and with all your soul. It is a prophecy. It will happen. It has not happened yet. There is a contingency. When? You hearken to the voice of Yehuah to keep all of those things that the whore church says you can't keep anyway, don't even try. Besides, they're done away with. It's another one of the biggest lies in all of human history. And he's fixing to prove it right here. Because, he says, for, key, this commandment, which I command you this day, hayom, it's not too hard for you. We could put a period right there. Now, Paul talks about it too. He quotes this verse, and funny how they take Paul out of context and say he doesn't say what he says any more than this says what it says. This is the creator of the universe speaking through Moses, telling us this commandment, and by the way, notice it's used in the singular here, keep my statutes, my judgments, and commandments, walk in obedience. This commandment is not too hard for you, nor is it too far off. It's not up in heaven. Now, this is where I will contend he actually whacks a bit sarcastic. It's not up in heaven. You need to say, oh, who'll go up there in heaven and get it for us and make us hear it, that we may do it? Nope. Nor is it beyond the sea that you need to say something silly like, who'll go over the sea for us and bring it back to us and make us hear it, that we may do it? It's none of that. The word is very nigh unto you. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart, that you may do it. One more time. If the creator of the universe says it's not too hard for you, it's in your heart, it's in your mouth, you may do it, then I'm going to contend that anybody, and I mean anybody that calls him a liar, is on really shaky ground and has a hell of a lot of splaining to do, and for crying out loud, had better repent because they're trying to teach others to do what? Well, break his commandments. It's shameful. It really is. It's shameful what's going on. No wonder we're in such a mell of a hess. No wonder we were scattered. Because the reason we were scattered is still at hand. And the lies that got us put into exile are still out there in the very same place as before. The word is nigh to you. It's in your heart. You may do it. And here comes one of the two statements of what I will contend are the clear choice. It's an open book test, folks. See, he says, I have set before you this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command you this day, Hayom, to love Yahuwah Yirel, to walk in all of his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his ordinances. Then you shall live and multiply, and then Yahuwah Yirel shall bless you in the land that you go in to possess. But if your heart turns away, if you will not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, as exactly has happened and it continues to happen, Ishtar, Sun God Day, all the Baals, all of the alternatives. Now we got AI gods. I declare unto you, Hayom, this day, that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether you go over the Jordan to possess it. And in fact, he says, here are the two witnesses that we see Moses invoke more than once. And they're the same two witnesses that Yeshua invokes his very first time, his very first public address in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 through 19. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that you and your seed may live. So there it is, folks. That is probably one of the verses that I quote more often than any other verse in the book. I have set before you this day life and blessing, death and cursing, so choose life. And I will contend that if there comes a time where we have any difficulty understanding what it is that is at the heart of Scripture, this is it. Choose life. Remember John 10:10. Yeshua came and he says, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly even. But the bottom line, choose life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. It's consistent. And it's central. The verse isn't finished, though. It says, to love Yahuwah Yirel, to hearken to his voice, and to cleave unto him, for that is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which Yahuwah swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Yaakov, to give them. And with that, folks, it's a short Torah portion, but it's a vitally important one. With that, the Torah portion ends.